Yeah, how you doing? You had a rough day? Yeah. Well, let Frank pour you a glass of Chablis and, you know, we can talk about it. Frank Boomer's doing just that right now. Chillin' and swillin'. You've had a rough day. You don't want to have a rough now. Take a listen to this Frank Boomer story. It'll be well worth your time. Thank you for joining us at Frank Boomer Still at Large, a show about people, places, and love. If you enjoy it, tell a friend. Yeah, you know, there was a time back in the 70s, I think it was, when there was a television game show called The Gong Show. Yeah, it was a gong show. It's like you had four celebrities and a host, and acts or things would come out and perform, just whatever. All it was really no limit to the to what could be presented as acts or performance attempts. People would do anything. It was like a crazy show, but if anyone was offended by it or thought it was just worthless, any of the judges, on the celebrity judges or the host, they all had the handle to the gong, and if they'd had enough, they just hit the gong and the act was over. We're living in a gong show republic right now, a gong show society, where certain people have the gong handle, and if they don't like something, they just hit the gong and you're out, you're done, your act is over. That's how we run our country now. So the secret is to get on the committee that has the gong handle. Sounds like the Politburo. And so we have allowed ourselves to be governed, not only governed as in government, governed by society and governed by mores and governed by outright civility or lack of, with a gong show approach. Now, of course, white males don't have a gong. They simply don't. And they get immediately gonged and not even brought on to the show, most likely. And there are certain acts that automatically get raving approval despite whatever they produce. That's the gong show. Go watch the gong show. You'll get a kick out of it. It was a funny Chuck Boris. I guess it was funny. It was an odd show. It was a weird show. And sometimes someone would gong something that was, the others didn't like it, and they would protest the gong, and it became hilarious. But you should watch it, because to be honest with you, that's the kind of system we're running now. Gong show society. So as long as you got a gong handle, you know, you're powerful. Now, the media only has this power because you allow it, because the media is nothing without ears, which are attached to a mind. So the media is a personal thing. You don't have to believe what you hear, but when you get bombarded by a similar lie over and over, and then they gong the truth, how many people are smart enough to figure it out? Well, when you've been taught for generations not to have critical thinking, it's shunned and it's not encouraged. And so, yeah, people get fooled. The truth gets gonged, and then, you know, everybody celebrates. Tucker Carlson is a pariah But MSNBC is fine. You see, there's no connecting logic. So hypocritical thinking is fine because you don't have anything to back in. There's no rules. Except I have a gong and whatever I like or whatever I don't like, I have the gong and I will decide what plays and what doesn't. Well, who has a gong? Social media has a gong. Twitter has a gong. MSNBC, I guess, has a gong. Sure, but at some point, you're going to have to be responsible for critical thinking. Now, wouldn't it be kind of a letdown if that was the way the world was really set up, like a gong show? You do what you do, and when it offends some higher up, they gong you. Wouldn't that be nice? But that wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be free will. So every act gets to play itself out. This too shall pass. If you don't like what's in the media today, you can blame your first demagogue of mass proportions in the modern age, which is Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan allowed the current media to exist. The immediate result of Ronald Reagan's repealing of the Fairness Act in the media was your Rush Limbaugh and your right wings. They took hold on talk radio and produced a decade or so of political effect. Now, the lefties have it. The point is, neither side has to be fair, neither side has to tell the truth, and no holds barred, and you have the media you have today, and you have gong show reality. I didn't like the gong show too much. I watched it for a few minutes, and I would usually not want to watch anymore. I didn't like the concept of the gong show. First of all, the acts were terrible, but I really didn't like the fact that these ninnies, these celebrity ninnies, would gong an act for ridiculous reasons. And so the gong show was like a parody of fascism. Go watch it. Go listen to me. Turn me off and go Google the gong show and go watch, make yourself watch 15 minutes of it and realize that's the world that you allowed to be set up. Yeah, not you, because you didn't vote for Ronald Reagan. But someone like you did. Someone who thinks like you think now did vote for Ronald Reagan and allowed him to do what he did, to dismantle a generation, a century of safeguards for society. Rupert Murdoch took advantage and now he owns the entire world's media. Anyway, go watch the Gong Show. And I'll be back in a minute. This is Frank Boomer. I am still at large, which means the world is run by crazy lunatics, and I want no part of it. Frank Boomer, at large, trying to enjoy a peaceful evening on this planet. I've turned off all the media. I'm sick of hearing any of it. I don't look at anything until I have to research something for a podcast or something. And so my research notes show Gong Show, Tucker Carlson, and general media. And I was wanting to present you with a contrast of, or a montage of, just a typical snippet of media that most of you pour into your heads thinking it's delicious nectar and it's battery acid. But we have to fill our minds with something. We're sentient creatures. You know, and we have some innate rules that are inside us. We're born with them. It's like you have arms and legs. People assume that's normal. You're also born with an innate set of certain rules. Now, you go, Frank, how do you know this? You have to take my word for it. Common sense is what it's called. Why would the word common sense be a phrase if there wasn't something to it? Innate rules. Common sense. Common sense. Just instinctive, intuitive knowledge that you're born with. You pick up really quick. You don't do things to harm yourself intentionally. Even though as you are a child, you don't understand danger. But certainly by the time you hit puberty or adulthood, you understand certain common sense dangers. You don't do certain things. Cause and effect has produced enough reactions where you simply put it together and go, don't do this, that will happen, and I don't want that to happen. Common sense. Now, there are also 12 universal laws that are kind of what you are given, whether you obey them or understand them or cultivate them, is a personal matter. But you understand, and the universe sort of has these 12 laws, and it's enforced through a system that the highbrows would just call karma, for short. Karma. You get what you deserve. You reap what you sow. There's been some pretty influential people who said you reap what you sow. Anyone who doubts that, who's over 30, needs to leave the basement more than twice a month and reap, sow something so you can see what you reap. Playing Minecraft in the basement, well, that's sowing something and you're going to get what you get. You're always planting something, even if it's nothing. If you're planting nothing, you receive nothing. But see, we all have to share this earth because it's the source of our existence. The earth is the giver of all things we need. Water, air, food, everything that we build, everything, our civilization is a product of the earth and our minds as to how to use it. So, we pretty much are limited to that resource. We can't just jump on a Uber and go somewhere else. And so, there's kind of an understanding that we have to work with each other. We have to have some sort of system of sharing resources for the better of everyone. It sounds like communism. See, communism is a fine concept. It basically implies sharing. Of course, no one ever does it right. One of the universal concepts or laws is you must treat the whole as important as yourself. In other words, don't just think about the effects of what you do to you. How does it affect the whole earth, which includes people on the earth? Most religions have some sort of concept of love your neighbor, which means love everyone, not just the guy living next door. Now, you can go out and get you a little piece of land 30 miles away from anybody, and you still have a neighbor, brother. He's just a long way off. And love your neighbor in the sense, the same way you love yourself. In other words, you want to prosper, and so you shouldn't at least interfere with his prosperity or his attempts to prosper. And if he does the same to you, it'll sort of work out. That's how societies function. But we have the gong show society that's in full force right now. that if you have a gong, you can shut anything down, and they're throwing all the crazy stuff out there, and the people with a gong are having a field day. But they're going to reap what they sow. It is true. This cannot be avoided. You can't plant peas and expect to reap watermelon. If you plant peas, you will get peas. Now, you may not get anything because the crop could be ruined. Sowing doesn't necessarily guarantee any harvest. But you certainly will not harvest anything that you don't sow. It has to be planted to harvest. But when you plant dissension, when you plant hypocrisy, when you plant the things you see as you scroll through that Facebook and through that Twitter and through all that crap, you can see what's being planted in the terms of ideas. What's being planted, it's going to come to harvest. And that's what's going to get, that's going to get what's harvested. That's going to get reaped. You reap what you sow. So if you have no love for that stuff, perhaps you will avoid its ill harvest, which is certain to come. Do you really think that a Maxine Waters can go out and incite violence in her vile fashion without at some point having it come back on her personally? Possibly not. Because the way karma works, sometimes you don't always live to see your harvest. So how does that work? Well, now you're getting into higher thinking stuff, and maybe at another life you might get punished. I don't understand all that. You can't. You can only speculate. But Maxine Waters is reaping hatred. I mean, she's not reaping. She's sowing hatred, violence, divisiveness, and she has power. She has a gong. She's a politician. She's in a very important committees, but these people work together, and they're not going to gong her. They will gong the wrong side for any slight discrepancy, and that's where you get the Tucker Carlson versus MSNBC. The liberal strongholds on Facebook around here, I just was reading where they were, couldn't believe that Tucker Carlson exists. I couldn't believe that a guy would be allowed to do what he does. They don't see the rest of the media, apparently. Or they simply think that's fine. Crazy is crazy. And if the whole world's crazy and you're fitting in, you know, that could be a problem. This is the Frank Boomer After Hours. We're having some coffee, listening to some jazz, and just trying to make sense of the day, trying to get your head together and have a little peace and quiet. See, that's something that I think everyone needs. It's a fine and demand that they allow themselves some moment, some place where they can go and shut everything down and have some peace and quiet and sow some peace and you will reap it. Wouldn't that be nice? But what are we going to do in the meantime? We have sowed a gong show society. We've planted it, we've nurtured it, and now it's starting to sprout and it's growing big leaves and it's getting all it needs from the nectar of the land, and we are going to have a harvest very soon. There's only two ways this can play out. It will destroy itself in a ridiculously quick frenzy, or it will create the supposed, it will make room for the opposite to take root, and the right wings will come on. It happened with Hitler. They had the same kind of lefty stuff in their 20s. The Germany 20s were just like today. Very similar. And a little economic bump hit the road, and bam, right wings took over, and you saw what happens. Neither side sows anything good for mankind. But if it makes you feel any better, those are the only two outcomes you have. It either self-destructs, or you have the opposite takes hold, and it will self-destruct. So which one's going to destroy the world first? Right now, the lefties have the gong, they got the dynamite, and they got the match. And they're just stupid enough to light it and show you how much power they have. Hello, Frank Boomer with you. A nice, quiet evening as we get over the hump here on a Thursday. Getting ready for the weekend for some of you. As for myself, the weekend is every day. All I have to do is to make this podcast. I don't do anything else. I water my garden, tend to my cats, pay somebody to cut the grass, and I do this podcast. I do whatever I want to do because I have retired. I was in the media for a long time. And I retired, and now, thanks to the wonderful toys technology has brought us, I realize that I never had to do it that way. You can always speak your mind, but when you work for other people and you're in a media company, you have to do what you're told. You have to run. It's a job, and nobody does that quite so prolifically as Tucker Carlson has become. I think he's on Fox, but he's become a celebrity and a pariah to the leftist, the no critical thinking generation whose parents never learned how to think critically. And they were never even hinted at the need of it, and their college professors never dared step in to get them to learn how to think for themselves, which was the whole purpose of a liberal arts education back in the day. But we have a very unique generation of zombies who cannot think for themselves and certainly don't have any problem with a gong show world. But you know, I did my time, I did my dues, I did the media thing for years, as best I could. But now I'm retired from all that, and I get to do my own thing. Here's a little bit of Tucker Carlson I'm going to play for you. One of the few clips here of Tucker.
Weeks ago, we asked a pretty obvious question on the show. How did Maxine Waters, a Democratic congressman, get so rich? Waters has held elected office for pretty much continuously 40 years. She represents one of the poorest districts in California. Yet somehow she lives in a $4.3 million mansion in one of the richest and whitest neighborhoods in L.A., which, by the way, is not even in her own district. Now, we're not alleging wrongdoing here, but really, how did that happen? The New York Times talked to Waters recently, and here's how she responded to this show and our question. Quoting now, I own several properties. The way he, me, talked about it is, what right does an African-American woman have to do well? He doesn't know anything about my investments, about the house that I've lived in for 25, 30 years. This idea of how could she afford that is racist, and I just dismiss it. In other words, we're bigots for asking the question. You surprised? I mean, what else was she going to say? By the way, it doesn't look like she's lived in that house for 25 or 30 years. Real estate records suggest she just bought it 13 years ago and has spent an awful lot since to remodel it. So again, where'd the money come from? Maybe she borrowed it from relatives. Since 2006, Waters has paid her own daughter $600,000 from campaign funds. Then there's her husband, who was once a director of One United Bank. Never heard of it? Well, in 2008, One United Bank got a $12 million taxpayer bailout after Waters encouraged the Treasury Department to take up the case. At the time, she did not disclose that her husband had worked there or that she still had stock holdings in that bank. Maybe those were the investments she mentioned. Or maybe she was referring to the more than $1 million the LA Times reported that her family has made by doing business with companies and people she's helped in Congress. By the way, that was almost 20 years ago. Now, some people think all this looks a little unseemly, if not criminal. One liberal group ranked Waters as among the most corrupt members of Congress. We are withholding judgment on that, despite the Congresswoman's name calling, but we really would like a real answer. We've asked Waters to appear on this show many times to explain, and we're going to keep asking.
And so there's a little touch of Tucker Carlson. He seems to have Maxine Waters in his sights right now. She's a very typical example of what the Democratic Party is in America right now, and they're basically just cashing in. They get in office, they primarily just take root in the House of Representatives. You get easily elected. You get in, you stay entrenched. You can stay in office for 30, 40 years. You don't even have to live in the district, and you are allowed to make legislation and invest accordingly. Well, there's no reason why you couldn't be very wealthy if you had no morals and be a Democratic congressman. And she's not the only one, trust me. She's just a glaring example. Now, some might say, well, Frank, maybe she's just worked hard. Well, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of people that were in that same situation, might not have made as much money, might not have been as aggressive, and so give her a little credit. But is that really what her job is as House of Representatives? Is that really why she was elected? Is that really why the Founding Fathers concocted this governmental structure so Maxine Waters could get rich and keep her voters poor? Of course not. But that's pretty much what we're looking at. And now the gong show society has set in. If you don't like it, they gong you. And Tucker Carlson, the liberals, they hate this guy. They hate him. They don't think he has a right to be on the media. But MSNBC is fine. They can actually just completely lie, and that's fine because, you know, the Fairness Act is, thanks to Ronald Reagan, doesn't exist anymore. You pretty much don't have to to back anything up. You can say what you want. You can lie. You can even understand that, you know, the media is not necessarily one institution or one person, but it has become an absolute circus, a gong show project. I was trying to find some more Tucker Carlson. He had a really good one recently about Maxine Waters when she was inciting riots. And we'll have to get that later. I can't find those right now. But anyway, Tucker Carlson gets about 30 million viewers on average. A lot of people, considering today's market, that's outstanding. This guy is basically living in a media world. He's actually has the footprint of a Huntley or Brinkley or a Dan Rather. Back in the days when you only had three networks and you had 300 million people to split 300 million people with, only three networks, you only had three. So just getting on the air, 30 million probably wouldn't have been a good ratings. Tom Brokaw would have pulled more than that just because the show came on. But today's world, that's absolutely astounding. Once upon a time, there was a turtle. By all accounts, he was a perfectly ordinary turtle. He liked to do what turtles did. He liked to splash in the water, climb on the rocks, and sun. He liked to do everything a turtle loves to do. One day, as he was sunning on his favorite rock, in a beautiful part of the stream, his favorite view of the sun as it was approaching midday, and the turtle heard a voice that he could not see a form. But he heard the voice, and the voice said to him, "My little turtle, would you like to know everything?" And the turtle said he would, and so the voice taught the turtle everything. When he was completely satisfied that the turtle had been taught everything, the voice departed and said, "Enjoy your knowledge and use it well." And the turtle decided he would use his knowledge well. But now the turtle knew everything. He knew everything, everything, everything there was to know. At first, the turtle did what turtles like to do. All this knowledge did not change the wonderful rays of sun that warmed his body and filled his body with energy, and it made him feel so happy to sit in the sun on his favorite rock, in his favorite stream, in his favorite part of the day. And the turtle did the same as he did before. He did what was his merry way. But then one day, a princess came upon the wood and spotted the turtle. The light and the sun reflected his shell so profusely and so interestingly that the princess was amazed and thought it was a beautiful rock, and picked the turtle up and took it home, put it on her table by her bed. Her beautiful jewel that she had found by the stream. She could not believe what a beautiful rock she had found. The next morning, the turtle, having recovered from the shock, opened his way out of his shell And the princess saw him and was shocked. And the turtle says, "Fear not, princess. I am a turtle. You simply thought I was a rock. If a rock is what you seek, follow me and I will show you where you can find the most beautiful rocks." And the princess followed the turtle to the stream and did indeed find beautiful rocks. And the princess realized her mistake. And she asked the turtle if she would like to come back to her castle, because she enjoyed his company, as he seemed to be very knowledgeable, and they had many, many long conversations. They became good friends, and every day the princess would take the turtle to the stream, and the stream and the turtle would show the princess many wonderful things. A Little Fairy Tale from Frank Boomer. You see, you don't tell stories like that in today's media without having a moral to the story. So the moral to the story was what? Appreciate what you have. Now, there was an alternate story, because the story could very well have gone this way. The same turtle, the same stream, and the same knowledge he had received was still his. But on this day, the same princess discovers this beautiful, what she believes to be, a jewel, takes it to her castle, puts it under her pillow, and doesn't want anyone to know that she had found such a beautiful jewel for fear it would be stolen. The next morning, she quickly rushed into her vault, stashed the jewel inside, shut the vault, and the turtle was trapped inside a dark vault. And he knew he had done nothing to cause this harm. And the only way the turtle would ever get out of this voided darkness would be when the princess decided she wanted to admire her jewel. But fortunately for the turtle, the princess did enjoy her jewels and took them out of her safe every day and played and jostled and admired them. For she loved her jewels, her riches, her wealth, and she would count it and marvel at it and throw them back in and go about her way. And one day, as the turtle was being hoisted away with all the jewels and the barnacles and the emeralds and the pearls and the luscious amethyst and the emeralds, the princess saw the turtle poke his way out of his shell, and the turtle began to speak. And the princess realized that she had a magic rock. She took the turtle to the king, her father, and showed her what she had found. And the king listened to the turtle and found him to be quite knowledgeable. Since he knew everything, the king decided he must have this turtle. But the daughter, the princess, would not give it up. They began to fight for the turtle. And in the pursuing fight, the turtle was knocked out the window, fell down the stream, rolled down the wash where the recent rains had poured into a gully, and the turtle was soon upon the earth and rolling in mud, but he was never happier in his entire life. And soon he found his sunny rock and was thankful for the sunny rays and the warm sunshine. It gave him such a feeling of peace, and he knew one thing, that knowing everything did not make him any happier than he was before. He was so very happy to be back on his rock. Knowing everything, the next time a princess come about, he might decide to take another route. Hello, Frank Boomer with you. A nice, quiet evening as we get over the hump here on a Thursday. Getting ready for the weekend for some of you. As for myself, the weekend is every day. All I have to do is to make this podcast. I don't do anything else. I water my garden, tend to my cats, pay somebody to cut the grass, and I do this podcast. I do whatever I want to do because I have retired. I was in the media for a long time, and I retired. And now, thanks to the wonderful toys technology has brought us, I realize that I never had to do it that way. You can always speak your mind. But when you work for other people and you're in a media company, you have to do what you're told. You have to run. It's a job. And nobody does that quite so prolifically as Tucker Carlson has become. I think he's on Fox, but he's become a celebrity and a pariah to the leftist, the no critical thinking generation whose parents never learned how to think critically, and they were never even hinted at the need of it, and their college professors never dared step in to get them to learn how to think for themselves, which was the whole purpose of a liberal arts education back in the day. We have a very unique generation of zombies who cannot think for themselves and certainly don't have any problem with a gong show world. But, you know, I did my time, I did my dues, I did the media thing for years as best I could. But now I'm retired from all that. And I get to do my own thing. Here's a little bit of Tucker Carlson I'm going to play for you. Run a few clips here of Tucker.
Weeks ago, we asked a pretty obvious question on the show. How did Maxine Waters, a Democratic congressman, get so rich? Waters has held elected office for pretty much continuously 40 years. She represents one of the poorest districts in California. Yet somehow she lives in a $4.3 million mansion in one of the richest and whitest neighborhoods in L.A., which, by the way, is not even in her own district. Now, we're not alleging wrongdoing here, but really, how did that happen? The New York Times talked to Waters recently, and here's how she responded to this show and our question. Quoting now, I own several properties. The way he, me, talked about it is, what right does an African-American woman have to do well? He doesn't know anything about my investments, about the house that I've lived in for 25, 30 years. This idea of how could she afford that is racist, and I just dismiss it. In other words, we're bigots for asking the question. Are you surprised? I mean, what else was she going to say? By the way, it doesn't look like she's lived in that house for 25 or 30 years. Real estate records suggest she just bought it 13 years ago and has spent an awful lot since to remodel it. So again, where'd the money come from? Maybe she borrowed it from relatives. Since 2006, Waters has paid her own daughter $600,000 from campaign funds. Then there's her husband, who was once a director of One United Bank. Never heard of it? Well, in 2008, One United Bank got a $12 million taxpayer bailout after Waters encouraged the Treasury Department to take up the case. At the time, she did not disclose that her husband had worked there or that she still had stock holdings in that bank. Maybe those were the investments she mentioned. Or maybe she was referring to the more than $1 million the LA Times reported that her family has made by doing business with companies and people she's helped in Congress. By the way, that was almost 20 years ago. Now, some people think all this looks a little unseemly, if not criminal. One liberal group ranked Waters as among the most corrupt members of Congress. We are withholding judgment on that, despite the Congresswoman's name-calling, but we really would like a real answer. We've asked Waters to appear on this show many times to explain. We're going to keep asking.
And so there's a little touch of Tucker Carlson. He seems to have Maxine Waters in his sights right now. She's a very typical example of what the Democratic Party is in America right now, and they're basically just cashing in. They get in office, they primarily just take root in the House of Representatives. You get easily elected. You get in, you stay entrenched, you can stay in office for 30, 40 years, don't even have to live in the district, and you are allowed to make legislation and invest accordingly. Well, there's no reason why you couldn't be very wealthy if you had no morals and be a Democratic congressman. And she's not the only one, trust me. She's just a glaring example. Now, some might say, well, Frank, maybe she's just worked hard. Well, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of people that were in that same situation, might not have made as much money, might not have been as aggressive, and so give her a little credit. But is that really what her job is as House of Representatives? Is that really why she was elected? Is that really why the Founding Fathers concocted this governmental structure so Maxine Waters could get rich and keep her voters poor? Maxine Waters, when she was inciting riots, and we'll have to get that later. I can't find those right now. But anyway, Tucker Carlson is, I guess, about 30 million viewers on average. A lot of people, considering today's market, that's outstanding. This guy is basically living in a media world. He's actually has the footprint of a Huntley or Brinkley or a Dan Rather back in the days when you only had three networks and you had 300 million people to split 300 million people with. Only three networks, you only had three. So just getting on the air, 30 million probably wouldn't have been a good ratings. Tom Brokaw would have pulled more than that just because the show came on. But today's world, that's absolutely astounding. But MSNBC is fine. They can actually just completely lie, and that's fine because, you know, the Fairness Act, is, thanks to Ronald Reagan, doesn't exist anymore. You pretty much don't have to back anything up. You can say what you... Well, Frank, I'm not sure we can sell a podcast like that. Why don't you get us another drink there? Thank you, sweetie. You know, the podcast world's kind of changed. Changed? Yeah, Frank, it's not the same world as when you was working, you know, with the big boys. Doing on your own, Frank, it's gonna have to Gonna have to figure it out a little different. Yeah, but see, I wanted to do news. Why? Everybody else is doing it, Frank. You can just borrow their clips. When you want to tell them some news, you think they need to hear more of that stuff? Well, I like to throw the clips in just so you can kind of lure them in because they're mesmerized. Well, that's an interesting word, Frank. Mesmerizing has always been good for advertising. So, Frank, if you can figure out how to mesmerize the audience, well, you just do your own thing and you let us worry about the other stuff, Frank. Yeah, I was like, you know, it's not like I don't want to make money at this. Of course, Frank, of course. Go talk to Louis Stu over there. I'll tell you all about how we got the money arranged. Don't worry about that. We'll take care of you, Frank. All right. I'm sure you will. Yeah, we'll take care of you, Frank, but you're going to have to kind of take to heart some of our suggestions. Sorry, Frank. Like, for example, in the story here, did you realize you could actually create 50 different styles of stories? Really? Well, yeah. Well, maybe not 50, but let's start off with a little story you told. I kind of like that, Frank. What was you doing there? Well, I like watching cartoons, but I don't know how to make a cartoon. And so I was trying to get the image of the Bullwinkle cartoon. And sometimes they had like a fairy tale, but done sort of offbeat. So I like to throw those out there. And I just kind of tell them the way I feel them in the moment. But I like the idea of the tortoise that knows everything. And then it dawned on me that the tortoise was sitting on a rock and something decided to tell him everything. There might have been something listening in. I mean, maybe. And so there's your opportunity for some characters of interest, you see. I like it, Frank. I like it. I don't understand it, but I like it. You work on that, Frank. Cartoons. Let's see how we can do that. Well, how are we going to do cartoons in a podcast? Well, you know, the soundtracks were the key, so just imagine the cartoon. Anyway, the Bullwinkle, Tortoise, and the Leprechaun would be kind of like the two main characters. Because who else would listen in but an old leprechaun? After all, he wasn't exactly just speaking, he was just talking in turtle language. But the leprechaun might have been able to intercept and understand, and so how much did he find out that the turtle was told? And so there's a natural, you know, there's a natural connection there. Leprechaun knows the turtle knows everything. Now leprechaun knows, well, he knows that's a gold mine. And so the turtle, knowing everything, will know the leprechaun wants to know what he knows. Because the turtle knows everything. Can do a lot with that. I like it, Frank. I like it a lot.